Campus FM presents My Pizza and Toffee Apples in the 1950s. Produced and presented by Patricia Salomone.
In the long, quiet evenings before the advent of television, my father listened to the BBC News and my mother played Chopin on our piano. Her music drifted out through the open windows into the dark summer nights, lit up only here and there by the dim lights in the British military barracks opposite our home.
As the years went by and the 50s slipped into the 60s, life began to take a faster rhythm. The rhythm of rock and roll.
Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. When I asked her what's the matter, this is what I heard her say. See you later, alligator.
The good nuns at St. Joseph realized times are changing and encouraged us to organize a sports association that included that half of the human race that was taboo, the boys. That was the beginnings of the Luxall Sports Club. I was never much of a sportswoman, but it was a good excuse to organize jiving parties with the boys.
But the next time that I saw her, reminded her of what she said. See you later, alligator, at the wild
crocodile. The nuns also realized that it was time for girls to do some sports activities. Scottish country dancing was definitely not enough. So we had a half hour's PE, physical exercises, on Saturday afternoon, after Maltese lessons. Many girls skived both these two last lessons. I did not, because I was sorely aware of my serious lacuna with the Maltese language, and because I loved our PE teacher, Miss Pirotta. Miss Pirotta was young, pretty, and witty. She was, as we would say in those days, with it. She did not tell us what to do, but she did it with us, stretching exercises, jumping and playing basketball, all of us wearing very modest, divided skirts.
Can't you see you're in my way now? Don't you know you can't be stopped?
I was growing up. School commitments became tougher, and the world around me took a different aspect. The school satchel grew heavier and heavier, my foot size bigger and bigger, and my waist narrower and narrower. No more playing in the yard downstairs, no more roller skating down Dragut Road. We were kids no longer, Roy.
And say your love for me is true. I said, oh, wait a minute, Gator. I know you mean it just for play. I said, wait a minute, Gator. I know you mean it just for play. Don't you know you really hurt me? And this is what I have to say. See you later, alligator. After a while,
traffic was becoming a hazard, and you, no longer interested in taking car numbers, started to dream of having your very own car. I lost my childhood companion, for you were sent off to school in England. Our roller skates went rusty. You would eventually come back for the summer holidays, and you came from swinging London and taught me how to dance the twist. I would come back from my Italian holiday and teach you the hully-gully. Eventually, with time, we each went our separate ways, and for many, many years, life was to keep us apart. As childhood flows into adolescence, one becomes aware of untold facts. As I have said, during the 50s, little was said about the war years. Maybe this is a mistaken perception of mine. Maybe it was just that I was a child and people did not explain much to children in those days. The stark truth, however, became known when in 1959 the filmed version of The Diary of Anne Frank was shown in the cinemas. Horrified, I read the book, and together with the rest of the world, I had to face the cruel, bare facts. Suddenly, people's eyes were opened, and the crude truth became known. The horror of the Shoah became a reality, the knowledge of which spread like a nightmarish disease against which there was no vaccination, no remedy, only horror, shock, pity, shame. Nothing in life would ever be the same again, neither in peace nor in wartime. With Bergen-Belsen, Auschwitz, Buchenwald, the human race had taken a new dimension. Man could indeed be more cruel than beast. Now we all knew. But life has always had two faces, and history its waves of good and evil. The opposite face of the evil we had just become aware of was the face of kindness, justice, peace, that of John the 23rd, Il Papa Buono, as he was known. This elderly man, born of peasant parenthood, was to be the most innovative of pontiffs. He was to change the face of the Catholic Church, to make it more humane and kindly and forgiving. He was to bring the church to the people in their own language so that they could better understand, so that learned man and crude both had open before them the same path to heaven. TV had only recently reached Malta, and people stood in the streets opposite shop windows displaying TV sets to watch in wonder at those black and white images coming from Rai TV's one and only channel. Suddenly, people like Khrushchev, John Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, Elvis Presley had a face. People like Mario Riva, Eddie Compagnoli, Mike Bongiorno became familiar and entered our homes, entered our lives.
Domenica è sempre domenica, si sveglia la città con le campane, al primo dindon del Gianicolo, Sant'Angelo risponde dindon da.
We looked forward to Mike Bongiorno's Lascia Ora Doppia on Thursdays, and to Il Musichiere with Mario Riva on Saturdays. Maestro Gorni Kramer's music was the most popular, and children were allowed to stay up until Carosello was over at 9:10. Neighbours were invited to watch TV by those of us who were lucky enough to own the magic box. importers set up rows of chairs in their shops to encourage people to watch TV with the intent of making sales. And enormous sales did they make. I remember watching The Passion of Christ on TV during Holy Week in the hall at Gazan's offices in 20 Kingsway, Valletta. It probably was Easter 1958.
E ognuno appena si risveglierà, felice sarà e spenderà sti quattro soldi di felicità.
Gradually, Malta and Italy came close again. In fact, closer than ever before. We began to follow Il Giro d'Italia, and Fausto Coppi had his fans in competition with Gino Bartali's. Italian football teams became household names, and Niccolò Carosio's voice was known to all. We began to imitate the Italian fashions, Italian music, Italian TV games. A form of La Sciara Raddoppia used to be held at the Phoenicia Ballroom.
Né clacson, né sirene, né motori, si sveglia la città più dolcemente, persino il gallo molto premuroso non fa chicchirichì, ha scritto sul pollaio buon riposo, ritorno lunedì.
We went there once, together with the Libertos. Same sort of outing as at carnival balls. This time, however, we were determined to compete and to win. Well, we did win, and we walked home with most of the prizes. So many of them that we were embarrassed.
Sempre domenica, e ognuno appena si risveglierà, felice sarà e spenderà sti quattro soldi de felicità.
When my father brought our first television set home, my mother was so thrilled, she danced with joy, practically lifting me up. And God knows I was heavier than she. Pirouetting up and down the corridor of our home, she sang at the top of her voice, "All Italia in casa! All Italia in casa!" Television made the world smaller, bringing into our homes what happened beyond our shores. To her, above all, it brought her language, her music, her people. It was an immense joy to one who, through the years, still intensely missed her birthplace.
Mi sono innamorato di Marina, una ragazza mora ma carina.
The times of the day and the night, Rediffusion blurted out, "Marina, Marina, Marina." It was the song of the carnival, the song of the summer, the song of the year. In March, I celebrated my 13th birthday. Still an all-girls party. She had sewn me a pretty lilac dress and bought me beige shoes with a lilac buckle. The shoes were Mina style. The young Italian singer, La Tigre di Cremona, had just emerged as an innovator in Italian musica leggera, and to us teenagers, she was a model. We copied everything, her makeup, her hairstyle, her clothes and her shoes. At that birthday party, we had the use of a great novelty, a portable record player in its elegant beige leather case.
Marina, 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 ti voglio più presto sposa. Marina, 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 ti voglio più presto sposa. Oh mia bella mora, no, non mi lasciare, non mi devi rovinare. No, 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 no. Oh, mia bella mora. No, no,
at school, the advent of television also had its effect. Whenever Il Papa Buono was going to appear on television, the good nuns would take us to a neighbor who had a TV set, and we would watch on our knees. So, on our knees, we watched the opening and the closure of the Vatican Council, and on our knees, we received the good Pope's blessing, Urbi et Orbi. Just as on our knees, we heard him sending the crowd home, saying, Date un bacio ai vostri bambini e dite loro che il Papa li benedice. Later, notwithstanding all the changes that this old vicar of Christ had introduced, at his death, we watched his funerary procession, still on our knees, and on our knees we observed the white smoke with the declaration, Annuntio vobis gaudium magnum, abemus papam, as the new bishop of Rome, Paul VI, head of the Catholic Church, was announced.
Blole, mille, folle, blu, blole, per intornare, blole, mille, folle, blu, che volano, che volano, che volano. Blole, mille, folle, blu, blu, mi sento gondola rossa, mille, folle, blu, che danzano, su grappoli di nuvole.
One day, quite unexpectedly, an old headmistress of our school, Madre Eufrasia, approached our mother. Two children were needed by a company of actors, La Compagnia Teatrale, Doria e Palmi, who were coming to Malta to act a series of plays on the lives of saints during Lent. Patricia and Daniela would be perfect for the part, so said Madre Eufrasia. It was great news for us, because we were obliged to rehearse, and that meant missing school. It meant her taking us to Rabat, where Madre Eufrasia, bossy and quite imposing, led us to the school theatre, stood us on the stage, and after giving us our parts to study, asked us to recite them loud, louder, even louder. Voce, voce, because the theatre will be full and people must hear you.
Bacio te e falli immagini.
Much-awaited parcels of goodies had recently arrived from Taranto. It was Easter time, so it contained the much-awaited marzipan lamb. But, surprise, surprise, it also contained our first pairs of coloured tights, navy and red.
Amor, impazzisco di gioia se vedo passeggiare. Nel vento le mille bolle blu.
The Compagnia Teatrale Doria e Palmi were about to arrive. We knew our parts, and we were now rehearsing in Hamroon at the Radio City Theatre. As we alighted from the bus in Sangaitan Street in Hamroon, we heard the kids teasing and calling us Red Injuns, as we had red legs. Undaunted, we went along to the side door of the theatre, feeling very important. When the company of actors arrived, on first rehearsal day, they asked why these two poor kids shouted their parts out so loud. To our relief, we were asked to lower our voices, and to our great excitement we were told that what we had prepared was only the first play. We were to learn four or five other parts each, as many more plays were due to be presented, and each time we were to act the part of a particular saint during his or her childhood. So, one evening I was San Francesco as a child, wearing his nobleman's fineries in Assisi, while next evening my sister was the young, humble Maria Goretti, the peasant from Ciociaria. This went on for a couple of weeks. Never was there a hitch. We were two very serious and very well-prepared young actresses, until I had to act the part of a page boy. Then tragedy struck. I came out on stage, proud and dignified, took centre stage, bowed gracefully to milady, and completely fluffed my lines. Years of experience prompted the prima donna, who was also the director of the company, to take over and recite my lines herself, saying, "Sì, sì, 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 va bene, ragazzo. Il conte Sigfrido di Sigfridain e la sua scorta oltrepassano in quest'istante il grande ponte elevatoio. Va, va, va!" And off she sent me, a dumbfounded me, who, on attaining backstage, burst out crying, having lost all my dignity and self-assurance.
Per sentire una canzone con te ed averti solamente per me, il mio braccio ti darò e con me ti porterò in un piccolo e nascosto caffè. C'è la macchina dei dischi che va.
Years later I was to join some local amateur companies and tread the stage on several Maltese theatres in Malta and Gozo. Yet, if you were to ask me to recite a line or two, I would have to confess that none come to mind. The only lines I do remember from my acting career are those recalling the Conte Sigfrido di Sigfridain e la sua scorta. Still, in their shiny armour, the Count and his retinue, their horses draped in splendid colours, their banners flying proudly in the sky, cross the great drawbridge of my mind as I dream of them at night, struggling hard to remember lines that I couldn't pronounce on the stage of the theatre in Hamrun so many years ago. An actor's nightmare.
Jukebox è una magica invenzione. Jukebox, pochi soldi, una canzone. Jukebox, un gettone, la felicità.
Times were changing indeed. Soon every family was to have a television set, a washing machine, and why not, a motor car. Our next Italian family holiday was, in fact, a motoring adventure. For the first time, my dad drove us up to Taranto in his brand new Ford Cortina, wine colour, with a four-digit number plate, 7966. Don't ask me how I remember that number plate. I must confess that I do not remember my present one. So it really is true that as one grows older, one remembers things from long ago better than the present.
Una voce, una chitarra e poche lune, che ci vuol più per fare una serenata, per sospirare d'amore chiano chiano, parola dolce per innamorare.
I have vivid memories of that journey, the last carefree family holiday with my parents and kid sister. By then, my school days were over, and my childhood gone. I had just sat my GCE O-levels and met my first boyfriend. I left for Italy most unwillingly, and my childhood friend Roy was not the reason. I was desperately, terribly in love, as only a 16-year-old can be.
Una voce, una chitarra, poche lune, e come dolce che sta serenata, a bocca tua s'accosta più vicina, a tutta stringa me più appassionata.
But no amount of nagging would convince my parents. I was still their child, and as such still subject to complete obedience of strict, unbending rules. The family had always gone to Italy in the summer, and nothing was going to change this particular summer, the summer of my school leaving, the summer during which I would receive my finals results, the last carefree summer of my life, the summer of 1963. I cried and complained and even shut myself in one of those musty old cupboards in the stanza in fondo to cry myself to sleep, knowing full well that the whole family was frantically looking for me. It was now my turn to wait for the postman to call Salomone. The letters came from Berlin. It was now my turn to sing the sad love songs, and my voice mingled with that of Rosa's daughter singing across the yard in the amphitheatro. I had reached that age when families look forward to a girl settling into marriage, and my Italian nonna busied herself in the kitchen, choosing embroidered sheets and tablecloths for her prima nipotina.
Parola dolce, buona innamorata, te voglio bene, tanto, tanto bene, lontana te, non posso più cantare. Una voce, una chitarra, o poche lune.
But our time is up. Let's meet again next week. I will tell you about the car drive which almost ended in disaster, and we shall reach the conclusion of my story. Till then, goodbye.
Con una chitarra e un folile voce, cu te vicina canta soffrice, amore, non posso più scordarmi te, amore, non posso più scordarmi te.